Grace, mercy, and peace are yours from God our Father and from the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Paul says, let every one be subject to the higher authorities. Romans chapter 13. Every year since 1990, I believe it still goes on, the U.S. House of Representatives has tried to pass a law that makes it illegal to burn the American flag or desecrate the American flag in any way. And every year, it gets shot down. There's no way that they can come to a two-thirds majority on that issue. And the reason they bring it up is because in 1989, the Supreme Court declared that the desecration and mutilation and burning of the American flag was an American right protected by the First Amendment, free speech. How do you feel about Old Glory getting burned or being used as a bikini or a t-shirt or anything like that? I suppose as citizens, there may be a couple of us on both sides of the issue, and that's okay, I suppose. It's one of those things that many of us, though, probably don't think too highly of because we are proud of our flag. Our theme today is going to be fly both flags faithfully. And what does that mean? Well, as children of God, we say that we live in two kingdoms. And we remind ourselves that our citizenship is in heaven, as St. Paul tells us in Philippians. And that's the most important kingdom in which we live. And we have a flag for that one. A red cross for the blood of Christ, enveloped by a blue background, which reminds us of our hope. And then it has a white base to it to remind us of the purity of Jesus, the righteousness which is ours through faith. Jesus tells us too that we are in the world, but we are not of the world. And as such, we also fly under Old Glory. And he wants us, his children, to understand our roles and our responsibilities under both flags. And we especially focus on the one over here today. The Bible says, everyone must submit himself to the governing authorities, for there is no authority except that which God has established. You think about that for a minute. God established the Egyptian Empire. He established the Assyrian Empire, that ruthless people who came and punished the northern 10 tribes who gave God up so that they could worship wood and stone. God established the Babylonian kingdom, who came and took his children away for 70 years of hard punishment for their sin. He established the Roman Empire. And 240 years ago, whether you agree with our founding forefathers or not, he established what has been considered the greatest nation ever on this planet. A nation which has given authority to the people of the land rather than having tyrants rule with an iron hand. God establishes governments, dictatorships, democracies, monarchies, constitutional republics, and some of the governments that God has allowed to stand we would call godly. And there are many that we would say are very ungodly. But this much you and I as Christians know, that God uses every government, good or bad, to serve God and to carry out God's plans for this world. And they do it knowingly or unknowingly. They are an extension of God's hand to bring blessing or execute judgment on believers and unbelievers alike. The authorities that exist, Paul says, have been established by God. So So we can rightly say, and we believe, that God raises kingdoms, and God is the one who causes them to fall. Now, I think if we get a little, we can get a little cocky living in the United States. God has blessed this country in ways that we can't even begin to imagine. We have more oil and natural gas under us than we can use for hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of years. We can take care of the world for hundreds of years. Our farms not only raise enough food for us, but we can feed the world. You could go on and talk about technology and industry and all of these things and look to see the hand of God. But more than anything, this is a nation where the gospel was given free rein, where our communities are dotted with steeples of all sorts of churches and denominations. And not only did people come flooding the United States to share the gospel, but the United States has been blessed by God to take Christians and go throughout the whole world to share the gospel as well. A lot of things for us to be a little cocky about. But the fact of the matter is that the Lord teaches you and me on a daily basis to say, give us today our daily bread. And each time that we say that prayer, doesn't it lead us to humility? Or should it not lead us to humility? As Luther says in the article, that all this God gives out of his fatherly goodness, and not because we have earned or deserved it. And that includes government. When we fly both flags faithfully, we first of all remember who it is that gives us government in the first place. That's our God. And for that, let's be humble and thankful. And the second way that we let this flag fly faithfully, these flags fly faithfully, is that we let the government govern. Now, what do we mean by this? It has been rightly said that God distributes two swords. You and I know the one from this government, from his kingdom. It's called the sword of the Spirit, right? And it's the sword of the Spirit that has the power, by the grace of God, to change hearts, to make people who are unbelievers believers. That's the power of that sword. Over here, he's given the sword of justice. And he requires that governments use this particular sword. It can't change hearts. It can only change actions. And the government uses this sword on the basis of natural law. You know that God, when God created Adam and Eve, he put into their hearts his will, his word, his law. But sin has clouded that law so that we don't have a complete understanding of that law anymore, do we? And yet that's the law that the government must use. And we know the problem with that. We know the holes in that, right? We who have been redeemed by Jesus, we who have been led to see the perfect will of God by the power of the Holy Spirit working in us, we oftentimes get frustrated when the government that rules from the natural law doesn't really know God's right and wrong, the way that God wants all of us to know that right and wrong. And so it's easy for us to get frustrated by a good government that can still allow abortion as a way to protect rights of everyone except the little child. It's frustrating when a good government can view marriage as the union of two consenting adults rather than the union of a man and a woman. Or when a government finds it, for the sake of votes, easy to allow people to be lazy rather than work for their own hands. Yet we understand that it isn't the responsibility of the government to legislate with the Holy Bible. They have not been given the power of the sword. That belongs to us as Christians. It does no good for a government to regulate or legislate school prayer, because which God are they going to ask us to worship? It does no good for a government to dictate what church should be long in the land, because what church are they going to tell us to worship? What the government has been given the responsibility to do is simply to govern. For the government is God's servant to do you good. He is God's servant, an agent of wrath, to bring punishment on the wrongdoer. And what a blessing it is for you and me that we live in a land that is still concerned about justice for people. Our great land has a system of governing that protects our borders from war and our homes from criminals. God has given us a land worth fighting for. He has given us military forces and men and women who have not been afraid to die to preserve the freedoms that you and I share. He has given us policemen who watch out for us and even take bullets so that our streets can be safe. He has given us a land where we are free to operate our businesses and to work in businesses that allow us to earn an income. And you and I are free to worship, because our government is here to govern, not to tell us how to be Christians. And when Luther tells us, give us this, or when Jesus says, give us this day our daily bread, Luther once said that every time we say that part of the Lord's Prayer, we should immediately think about our government. They are God's servants, and we ought to pray for them, to pray to have godly servants who are willing to bring peace and stability into our land. For when they rule for their own purposes and get drunk on their own power, then all that happens is that you and I live in a place of chaos. How do we fly both flags? We let the government govern. And thirdly, we let our light shine. As much as we love our government, huh? It gets a little bit frustrating when you hear you hear about people who say you can't sing Silent Night at school programs, and you can't call it a Christmas tree, and you can go down the line of all of those things that frustrate us today. Leaders who decry the high rate of sexual activity among our children, it's those same leaders who tell us that we should be handing out condoms to fourth and fifth and sixth graders in schools. And you wonder what's going on. Since we cannot ask the government to rule with the Bible, since we don't want the government to be our spiritual leader, Paul tells us this. He says, it is necessary to submit to the authorities not only because of possible punishment, but also because of conscience. And conscience dictates that we let our Christian light shine. We aren't hindered by natural law, and we are not ruled by natural law. We are guided by the gospel. The gospel that it has declared us and made us citizens of heaven, that has said that our sins have been forgiven by Jesus Christ. The gospel that tells us that we are waiting for a better home in heaven. And because I am waiting for that true kingdom, I can live in this kingdom as a child of God, serving my God and serving my fellow man by showing them the joy of what it means to be a child of God. And to share the gospel with others so that they can know the joy that we have too. And the psalmist says, I rejoice in following your statutes as one rejoices in great riches. I delight in your decrees. I will not neglect your word. We let our light shine when we live as Jesus teaches us to live. When it is clear to everyone that Christ Jesus is the Lord of our life. We let our light shine when others see us obeying the laws of our land, even if we think some of those laws are ridiculous. There was a street when I lived in Fort Worth that was 35 miles an hour that had no access to it. You could go 70 down that road. It didn't pay to go fast because there was always somebody there waiting to catch you. Ridiculous, but it's a law. We let our light shine when we pay our taxes. Because Jesus himself said, give to Caesar what belongs to Caesar. We also let our light shine not only by living our Christian faith, but also by praying. Prayer for those who are in leadership positions. Society is preserved on the backs of Christians who beg for God's mercy in their land. St. Paul says, I urge then, first of all, that prayers and requests, intercessions and thanksgiving be made for everyone, for kings and those in authority, that we may live peaceful and quiet lives in all godliness and holiness. And thirdly, we let our light shine by being active as Christian citizens, whether that means that we are active in voting, or active in wanting to preserve what we would call morality in our land, standing up for those things that we know are right, and letting people know that these things are important for the welfare of a land. You know, we can bend as citizens on things like whether or not the flag should get burned, but we can't bend on things like abortion and gay marriage and end-of-life issues and all those other things. You heard why. When you heard the words, righteousness exalts a nation, but sin is a disgrace to any people. And how is this country of ours going to learn about righteousness if they don't hear it from us, God's children? And finally, we let our light shine by our worship. We live in a land where we are free to worship. And how sad if we become negligent and lazy about the most important thing in our life. Someday, a government might rise that will take that right away from us. You and I have an opportunity to come here to be renewed and restored in our faith so that we can walk out of this room, out of this building and tell others about the red blood of Jesus, which has made us white in the blood of the Lamb and gives us the hope of eternal life. We are free to look to Jesus for our hope and our comfort and our strength. We are free to share him so that our land knows Christ. You see, life under the Christian flag is going to dictate life under the American flag. We let both fly faithfully and freely for the purposes which God has established them. Let us use the peace and prosperity of our nation, of this flag, to let this flag fly boldly and proudly. Let us lead the kind of clean and decent life that the Lord would have us lead, and let us fight and speak for what is right and good, so that we practice what Proverbs says, that righteousness is what exalts a nation. In this way, we prove ourselves thankful, and in this way, we prove ourselves faithful.